this most congested and polluted city of Bombay, many of us are faced every day with so many challenges. Which are threatening the very core and basis of our morality, as well as our spiritual precepts. And of course, even if due to long years of training and conditioning, in living a life which is religious, in the mode of goodness, many of us have children and friends and loved ones who are facing this great challenge in life. You are what you associate with. Let us face it. The so-called advancement of civilization that is taking place here in the great cities of India is threatening the very fiber of our civilization. With uncontrolled sense gratification, cruelty and immorality, and a total disbanding of faithfulness to God. In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit is speaking about this particular subject matter to his spiritual master, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. There, he questions the Goswamiji that in the third canto you have described how by living according to the basic principles of karmakanda, living in the mode of goodness, performing proper sacrifice, giving in charity, then according to these pious fruitive activities, one can be elevated to the higher planets, the heavenly planets where pleasures are far more beautiful and far more satisfying than what is known on this planet Earth. For instance, according to the Shastra, the planet of Chandraloka, there you can live a life over 6,000 earthly years, where 6 months of our earthly time span is but one day on the planet of Chandra. And there is no disease, there is no troubles, but ultimately, when your karma is exhausted, you must die and come back to this earth. Similarly, there is the planet of Lord Brahma, the highest planet in this material existence, for the most supremely pious of all living beings. In that planet of Lord Brahma, one can live a lifespan of several billions of our earthly years, where the pleasures and the happiness are billions of times more gratifying to the senses than anything we have ever experienced on this earth. But Krishna says Abramabhuvanaloka punaravardhanojana mamupetyatu kondeya punarajanman vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. Because ultimately, wherever you go in this world, you have to face death. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami was describing those planets that must be accepted by sinful living entities, the lower or hellish planets. In these conditions of life, there is insurmountable sufferings that is utterly unbearable for the human body. But when you are given a hellish body, you can somehow or other suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer, but not die. And depending on the extent of your sins, you have to suffer for millions or billions of years. So Maharaj Parikshit was inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami that most everyone in this world is very accustomed to committing sinful activities, either knowingly or unknowingly. Now that you have described these conditions of life, please explain to me how one can atone for one's sinful activities and not have to suffer. So Shukadeva Goswami explained that according to the Manhu Smriti, the Manhu Samhita, for every particular sinful action, there is a particular type of atonement through fasting, through sacrifice, through pious actions, through giving in charity. And in this way, if you atone for all your sins before you die, then you are cleaned of all sinful reactions. Maharaj Parikshit was listening very carefully. But then he responded. He said, Shukadev Goswami Maharaj, I'm very sorry, but it seems to me that even if one atones for all his sins, if the seed of desire for material enjoyment is still in the heart, then again that person will sin. It is like an elephant that goes into the river and perfectly cleanses himself. And after being thoroughly cleansed, he comes out and rolls in the mud. What is the use of his bath? So similarly, people in this world, although they are performing so many atonements for their sins, because that spirit of enjoyment is still present in their heart, again they sin again. It is a fact. In the Western countries, people go to the church on Saturday or Sunday. And when they are in church, they have what is called confession, where they go to the priest and they confess their sins. And by confessing their sins and giving some donation to the church, they satisfy the priest, and priest gives them a certain type of atonement to perform. You chant some rosaries or something like that. And in this way, they are free from their sins. But then again on Monday, they do the same thing again. They sin all week. They confess on Sunday, and they sin on Monday. So what is the use of such a life? Maharaj Parikshit, he said, it seems to me, Shukadev Maharaj, this is all useless. What is the process by which one can rid oneself from that seed of desire to sin within the heart? And Shukadev Goswami replied, that by always remembering the Supreme Lord, one becomes purified from within and without. The Garuda Purana explains, Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmare pundarikaksham sabayabhyantara suci. Whether one is purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all situations of life, one who remembers the beautiful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pundarikaksham, whose eyes are like the lotus petals, that person becomes purified from within and without. Shukadev Goswami Maharaj explained that by engaging in devotional activities and by always chanting the name of the Lord with sincere, offenseless attention, then all of the inclinations for selfish enjoyment, which gives birth to sinful desires, they are cleansed from the heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed, Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadabhagni nirvapanam Sreyakairava chandrakavataranam vidyavatu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pratipadam punamrata swadhanam Sarvatmasna paramparam vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. That the chanting of the name of Sri Krishna, it is the prime benediction upon all humanity. Why? Because it cleanses the heart of all impurities. It cleanses the heart of all the seeds of sinful desire. Anandam buddhivaradhanam pratipadam punnam ratasvadhanam. When the heart is cleansed of all sinful desires, then in its pure state, the soul which is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, like the radiant morning sun, shines and radiates one's life with pure happiness, pure peace, pure bliss. And from such a person, manifesting from his heart and from his life, is all the qualities of the Supreme God Himself. Mercy, compassion, equanimity, peace, benevolence. One becomes the friend and well-wisher of all living beings. These are the natural qualities of the soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, or Krishna. So Shukadev Goswami was describing that this is the true and fearless path by which one never has to again face the consequences of pious and sinful material reactions. Shukadev Goswami explained that the great saints and sages, they tell a very ancient historical story in this regard. It is about a very gentle and learned son of a Brahmin. His name was Ajamil. This Ajamil was very well behaved. He was most obedient to his parents. He was most faithful to his guru. His senses were most well controlled. He was kind to everyone. He was pleasing and gentle in all of his mannerisms. He was most religious. Indeed, He was an ocean of virtues. One day it is explained that this Ajamil was asked by his father to go out to collect some wood and some grass for the Brahminical sacrifices that were taking place in the house. As Ajamil was coming back with those articles he had collected for his father, he came across a fourth-class man who was in a drunken state. He was embracing a prostitute and enjoying his senses to a very extreme degree. They were both singing songs, embracing one another, kissing one another. They were both drunk with liquor, and their eyes were rolling in their heads in mundane pleasure. And as they were immersed in this situation of life, the prostitute's clothing became very loosened, and the shapely parts of her body were being displayed. And when Ajamil saw this woman enjoying sense gratification in such a degraded and sinful way, it is described that the arrow of Cupid pierced into his heart, and he became most attracted to want to enjoy this low-class sinful woman. And then he began to remember the instructions of his father, the instructions of the scriptures, and the instructions of his spiritual master. But it was very difficult for him to get this idea out of his mind. So he went home. But he could not forget the beauty of this prostitute. So he hired this prostitute as his maidservant. And due to the influence of her association, his only business in life was to satisfy her so that she would satisfy him. And thus, his aged parents, he was the only son, he completely neglected them and disgraced them. His beautiful and chaste wife, who was noble, virtuous, coming from a very righteous Brahmin family, he gave her up. He disowned her. And in order to support this prostitute, he began to gamble. He began to steal like a thief. He became degraded to engaging in all sinful activities to supply her with her unlimited desire for sense gratification. He became a drunkard, a thief, and a sex maniac. And he was producing child after child after child within the womb of this prostitute. And in this way, enjoying his senses in the most degraded manner, he spent the duration of his life. When he was 88 years old, he still could not give up having sex with this prostitute. And he had another child to see. Just see what association with low-class people can do to one's consciousness. This is a great lesson to be learned. This story took place long ago in a previous yuga. At that time, there was practically no such thing as a prostitute. There was practically no such thing as people who were drinking, engaging in sensual activities openly in public. There was only one such person. And yet, just by seeing such a person, Ajamil's heart became contaminated, and the spirit for sinful enjoyment overwhelmed his mind. His mind became uncontrollable in that association. But in this day and age, practically everywhere we go, practically everywhere we look, we see these incidences taking place. In America, it is expected. It is the land of this. When I was going to college in the 1960s, there was a movement called the Free Sex Movement. Actually, it was called free love, but what it meant is that where it was considered old-fashioned to get married, it was considered if you were, this is a fact, if a person, if a man or a woman was still a virgin when they were 16, then they were practically social outcasts. And there was so much pressure to take intoxications, to eat meat, to gamble and to have illicit sex, the pressure was so great that no matter how nicely your parents tried to raise you, the peer pressure was so much that even if you didn't want those things, you practically had to do it just to be accepted by society. I'm speaking factually. And there are many Indians who are very anxious to live in America, like moths flying into the fire. They are attracted by the glitter of material prosperity. But when they get there, they find their own children are burned to ashes in all their moral precepts. Indians are approaching me all the time. We are from a very, very pious Brahminical Gujarati family. And our child, our daughter, she's 14 and she's pregnant. What are we going to do? Our son, he's 17 and he's addicted to heroin. What are we going to do? I said, you send him to these schools where that's what's going on? What do you expect? They are all Ajamils. And here in Bombay, my God, every week we are meeting youths, high school, college age, addicted to alcohol and drugs. What do you expect? You go down the streets and you see the movie billboards. You never see nice things on the cinema billboards. All you see is violence. People with purple faces shooting each other with guns and stabbing each other with knives and having sex with one another, huh? The children are seeing these things. They're like, and it is the same influence that has had overwhelmed Ajamil. So therefore we must know the danger of sinful association. And therefore, we must insulate ourselves and protect ourselves and our loved ones from the association of Kali Yuga. Due to that association, Ajamil became the lowest of the low. But, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo nivijyate svarupam apyasya dharmasya drayate mahatodhayat. That any spiritual advancement you make is never lost. Because Ajamil was faithful to his guru, faithful to his parents, because he lived in devotion to God when he was young, the Lord in his heart never forgot that. Krishna says in Gita, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chajana bhavashani jabutani mamtu vedana kashtanaha. That I know past, present, and future. I know everything about everyone. So you see, for you parents, understand the most important thing in your life, as far as responsibilities, is to raise your child by your example in perfect God consciousness. If you are not doing that, you are cheating your children of the most precious gift that they are entitled to. Guru na sasyat svajanina sasyat pitana sasyaj jananina sasyat. According to the Shastra, you have no right being a parent unless you are God conscious and you are training your children to be the same. In the eyes of God, you are a cheater. If you want to be a sinful person, if you want to be a materialistic person, then that's your business. But if you're going to take responsibility for one of God's children, you have no right to behave like that. You must be the example of how that child never takes birth again and suffers in this world. Your responsibility to your children is not simply to feed them, give them clothing, and give them nice degrees. Put them through high school, put them through college, make them doctors, lawyers, PhDs, get them married, put them in a nice house. That is all secondary. Your duty to God is by your example and by your teachings to show that child the way to eternal life, free from all sufferings, free from the repetition of birth and death. So Ajamil's parents, they gave him God consciousness when he was young. Now, of course, especially in this day and age, where practically every child is a potential Ajamil, it is very, very important to train the child when he is young in God consciousness. Because even though, due to the influence of this society, when the child becomes a teenager, he may be very vulnerable to going astray from the path of virtue. But whatever spiritual discipline he has done in his life, God within his heart will never forget. Tyaktva svadharamam charanam bhajam harer bhajana pakropatito patapati. This means that once one tastes the sweetness of the lotus feet of Sri Hari, once one experiences the nectar of service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, then even if one does fall down due to bad association into materialistic life, it is just a matter of time till again he comes back to the service of the Lord. He can never be content with material life because he has experienced something higher. The Lord, who is the controller within the heart of everyone, knows every condition of his devotee in life and is simply waiting for the opportunity to drag him back. So the Lord within Ajamil's heart inspired him to name his youngest son Narayana. And when he was an old man, he was very much attached to this little child. He would love to hear his broken words. He would love to see him running around the house, making mess of things. His mind was utterly captivated by the beauty and the charm of this little baby of his. And in this way, immersed in sinful life and family attachment, he could not perceive that imperceptible death was about to devour him. Are we all not, to some extent, in the same condition? Death is creeping up upon all of us in the form of time. Our lifespan is being diminished second after second after second. And yet we do not even recognize what is happening to us because we are so engrossed in our materialistic plan-making business and in our family attachments. So while he was laying in his bed, death came upon Ajamil. And due to a life of degraded sins, he broadcasted an invitation for Yamaraj to dispatch his messengers to come and take him away. At that time, he saw four horribly deformed, violent-looking creatures coming toward him. Their eyes were full of hate. Their teeth were sharp, like the gnashing teeth of an animal. Their bodies were full of hair, and their muscles were very strong. Their figures were deformed in all respects, and they were growling, very ferocious. And they had in their hands chains and ropes, and he began to growl. And he began to tie the limbs of Ajamil's subtle body with these ropes and chains, and they were about to drag him out of this body. And Ajamil, looking at them, became so bewildered and so fearful. And through the corner of his eye, he saw his little son in the corner of the room playing. And he understood he was about to be dragged away from his son. So he began to call out helplessly, in complete desperation, Narayana! 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 And just at that moment, from the sky, Ajamil could see four most beautiful celestial heavenly beings floating down in the most graceful manner. Each of these beings had eyes that resembled a lotus flower. Their bodily complexion was blue, like the sky. They were wearing beautiful jewelry, beautiful golden silk garments, fine crowns bedecked with jewels. And in their four luxurious and graceful arms, they were holding the conch shell, the club, the lotus flower, and the chakra. And with sweet and tender voices that seemed to sound like the rumbling of clouds during the rainy season, these four most celebrated merciful personalities they pronounced to the Yamadutas that stop, you are forbidden to take this man away. And the Yamadutas looked at them and said, who are you? What right do you have to stop us from taking this sinful, degraded being to accept the reactions of his sins? The Yamadutta said, please tell us, what is sinful karma, and for what reason a person has to suffer sinful karma? And the Yamadutas began to explain the nature of Vaikuntha, the nature of the material world, and why people engage in sinful activities, and how each and every sin is recorded by Yamaraj, and they are the agents to take them for their punishment. The Vishnudutas began to explain, yes, what you are saying is true, but this man is sinless. The Yamadutta said, this man's sinless? And they began to narrate the whole history of the life of Ajamil. And then the Vishnudutta said, that do you not understand that he chanted the name of Narayan in a desperate state of mind? Therefore, he was chanting offenselessly. He was not chanting with any material ambitions. He was simply crying out the name Narayana, even though he was thinking of his son. The name of Narayana is so powerful that because he chanted in this offenseless and desperate condition of mind, not only did that chanting purify him of all the sins of this life, but it purified him of all his sins in all of his previous lives. Therefore, this man has no more karma, so you have no right to take him anywhere. He is our property. And the Yamadutas became very fearful. Who are these people more powerful than us? So they unraveled their chains, unraveled their ropes, and they left that place. And Ajamil was struck with wonder. And at that time, he offered his obeisances to these beautiful servants of Lord Vishnu. And then they left. They disappeared. And Ajamil came to his senses. He began to think, what have I done with my life? His heart was beating. It was pounding with regret. My mother and father were so kind and patient in raising me, in giving the best of everything in life. And when they were aged and helpless, I completely neglected them, ignored them, in order to serve this degraded woman. And my wife, who was chaste and faithful and religious, I kicked her out of the house and rejected her. And time again, I was impregnating children in the womb of a sinful prostitute. And I arrested innocent people. And I cheated them. And I was a robber and a stealer. And my sense is constantly being unsatisfied by my pursuits of lust. I was constantly in an angry, belligerent mood, insulting others with harsh words. and the Lord of my life. Sri Narayan, I have completely neglected him and disgraced. In fact, I have brought utter disgrace to the Brahminical order of life. All due to a little association with low-class people. I am the most degraded and sinful man on earth, but by the grace of God, He allowed me to name my son Narayana. And by the grace of these celebrated personalities, the Vishnu Dutas, I was saved from the most horrible fate. Therefore, now, with all gratitude and thanks for the causeless mercy of the Lord, let me dedicate my life exclusively to the service of the Lord's servants. And then Ajamil left that place, and he went to the holy land of Haridwar. And there on the bank of the Ganges, he immersed his consciousness in Harinam Kirtan, in chanting the holy names, in always remembering the Lord in the core of his heart, and in always serving his devotees. In this way, Ajamil purified his life. And after he became completely purified, again he saw those same four beautiful personalities descending from Vaikuntha. And then he gave up his body on the bank of the Ganges in the holy city of Haridwar. And he was given, by the grace of the Vishnu Dutas, his original spiritual body. And he was transported back to the spiritual world, Paramdhama, Vaikuntha. And Shukadeva Goswami began to explain to Maharaj Parikshit that there is no greater religious principle than becoming the servant of the devotee of the Lord. Now his father, his uncle, his mother, they were very attached to him. He was the only child. And of course, the father built up a big, big business. He put all his life's energy into this business. And of course, he wanted to turn it over to his son. Otherwise, it was finished. He would not live beyond him. This is a very tragic condition for a person who has put so much energy into such a project. And although this man was a devotee of the Lord, he was always thinking in terms of how to make his son happy. So Raghunath Das Goswami ran away. Because the pure devotees of the Lord, in their association, we will naturally want to chant the names of the Lord. We will want to surrender our hearts and our lives in the service of the Lord. Without that saintly association, it is impossible to overcome the obstacles of material life. Shukadeva Goswami explained that this narration of the Leela of Sri Ajamil is so instructive for all of us. that anyone with a sincere and attentive heart who repeats this beautiful pastime, and anyone who with a sincere and faithful heart hears this wonderful story, they will be relieved of all sinful reactions in their life. And they are guaranteed to be transferred to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains, Tasmad Bharata Saravatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Srotavyaschititavyascha Smaratavyaschichathabhayam. This is the essence of all knowledge contained in this one beautiful sloka. This sloka is like a jewel. It is like a jewel that is so precious that anyone who perceives the glory of this jewel within their hearts will never have to suffer again. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma. That the infallible and fearless path by which one can overcome all the obstacles of material life, and one may be established in one's eternal glory, is to hear about, to chant about, and to remember the beautiful Lord of our life, Sri Krishna. In the association of sadhus, to hear about, to glorify, and to remember the beautiful personality of Godhead, it becomes most relishable, most simple, and most natural. Therefore, there is no more important priority in our life than seeking out the association of great souls. Because in this material civilization, the tendency is very strong to become so much enwrapped in the relative responsibilities of survival that we forget the goal of life. We forget the purpose of life and how to attain it. Therefore, Bhagavatam describes Shushu Shro Shuddhana Sivasu Devakataruchi Sian Mahatsevaya Viprapunya Tirtana Sevanat. That by serving the great souls, Mahatsevam Dwaram, Bahura Vimukhtes, then great service is done. By rendering service to the great souls, the desire to hear about Krishna awakens within our heart. Tamodvaram yoshita sanghi sangam. But by associating with worldly-minded people, the doors to bondage, the doors to hellish existences are open before us. Therefore, these very wonderful programs are most important part of our life. Through these satsangs, we can be nourished with the spiritual energy and the spiritual strength to provide the real requirements to our family members, and to remain strong in devotion to God in every condition of life. If we do not have time for our spiritual life, then we are the most unfortunate and foolish persons on earth. We are more unfortunate than the animals, because the animals have no chance for spiritual awakening. Atatam brahma jigyasa. Human life is meant exclusively for spiritual awakening. If we do not have time for spiritual enlightenment, then although we are given the greatest fortune of human birth, we waste it with the mentality of an animal. There's no more unfortunate, lamentable, and sorrowful condition than to see a human being waste the most valuable opportunity that God has given him. So therefore, let us be very thankful. Let us be very thankful to the Lord who is providing us the path of liberty and the path of true happiness, bhakti, devotion to Him. So we want to thank our Mohan Idnani, doctor, and his good mother for arranging this program this evening and inviting so many fine and distinguished ladies and gentlemen here. Because by their gracious hospitality, they are giving the greatest opportunity and giving the greatest charity to so many. You see, there are many poor people in the streets. I believe in Bombay, something like 1/5 of the populations live on the sidewalks. The problem with the poor people is not with the poor people, it's with the rich people. You see, in a civilized society, people are brought up in a spirit of compassion, where the strong protect the weak, the young maintain the old, the rich provide for the poor. This is civilization. Uncivilized life is just take care of number one, me. But you see, when we develop these spiritual qualities by hearing the glories of the Lord, by associating with devotees of the Lord, by chanting the names of the Lord, naturally, in the service of the Lord, we become the compassionate, well-wishing friend of every living entity. That is the great need in this world. That is the great need in our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
Some name of the Lord at the time of death. Isn't there any chance?
if you want to be a gambler, then you'll take the chance. But you know, amongst gamblers, one out of a million wins. Huh? Gambling is a very, very horrible disease. Once you begin to gamble, it becomes in your blood and you cannot do without gambling. Now in America, there's Gamblers Anonymous. Huh? It's like there's Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, there's Gamblers Anonymous. People have given up heroin, given up alcohol, given up cigarettes, but they cannot give up gambling. Once you start gambling, it's a horrible disease. The thing with gambling is, I know one of my family members, one of my relatives, he worked as a dice dealer in Las Vegas. You've heard of Las Vegas? It's a very famous place for gambling. It's the world's capital for gambling. So this person used to just throw the dice and go like, you know, and just take everyone's money. And everyone thinks they're winning, but everyone's losing. That's what he told me. Everyone thinks they're winning, but nobody wins, except the house, the casino. They're always the winner, because the odds are always against you. And the more you win, the more they're happy, because they know the more you win, the more you're going to lose. Huh? He was telling me the psychology of a gambler. When a person wins $100,000, you think the casino is worried, thinking, oh my God, he's winning $100,000, we're going to lose it all. No, the casino's thinking, aha, it's like a fish it's like a fisherman. When the fish bites the hook and the fish starts running away with the bait, the fish is thinking, aha, I've got the bait. And the fisherman's thinking, aha, I've got the fish. He thinks he's got the bait, but I've got him. Right? He won $100,000. That means this person has gambling, the ecstasy of gambling, so deep in his veins, he's not going to be able to give up until he wins $1 million. And in the pursuit, he's going to lose everything he has. So even if you win, you lose. That's the nature of gambling. That's the nature of this game of chance. So yes, if you name your son Narayan, there is a chance that you will think of him at the time of death. But first of all, Ajamil was a great devotee in his youth. And he had heaps and heaps, mountains and mountains of pious credits to his spiritual life. He was not an ordinary living being. But what happens if you live your sinful life and you do not call out the name of your son at the time of death? Huh? Then those four deformed personalities, they will take you away. Huh? Human life is not meant to risk like a gambler. Krishna says in Gita, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jim na namaskuru, mam evaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my friend. Huh? It is 100% guaranteed, unconditional promise of God that if you become his devotee, if you remember him, if you chant his names, if you serve his devotees, you will come to him without fail. So the question is, do we want to take a chance with this human life, or do we want to live a life where our destiny and our future is certain. That is your choice. Is there any other questions? So thank you very much for coming this evening. We are very happy to meet with all of you. I believe there's now an announcement by Dr. Radhakrishna. If you are attached to living in the palace and Krishna wants you to live under a tree, you should not be attached to that palace. You should simply accept the tree. And at the same time, if you are living very happily, a simple life under a tree, and Guru and Krishna tell you to take the responsibility of living in a palace, you should not be attached to your tree. We should simply be attached to serving. Our service is our only attachment. What is our service? Where is our service? That is all according to the sweet will of Guru and Krishna. And we are content, we are happy, we are finding ultimate satisfaction simply in that service. This is the great example of the six Goswamis. As long as we are attached to our own sense gratification, to that very degree we cannot understand Krishna, we cannot understand Vrindavan. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, Vishaya chatya kabe sudaha bimana kabe hama heribo Sri Vrindavan. In the mood of the six Goswamis, he is praying, when will I relinquish all attachments to sense gratification? When will I relinquish all attachments to family, to the comforts of life, to good foods, to good clothing? Only on that day will I be able to see Vrindavan. As long as we have any attachments to the relative conditions of this world, as long as we are trying to avoid dishonor and trying to seek out honor, you cannot see Vrindavan. All you see is your false ego manifesting wherever you look. As long as you are attached to pleasure and trying to avoid pain of the senses, you cannot see Vrindavan. As long as you are attached to the comforts of life and struggling to avoid uncomfortable situations, you'll never see Vrindavan. Until we capture the spirit of the Goswamis, we cannot imitate the Goswamis. If you try to imitate Rupa Goswami, you will die. If you try to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, you will not survive. But under the order of the Guru, we can follow in the footsteps of such great souls and make our condition of success in life the execution of our service and not consider with any relevance what others say about us in this world, what others think about us in this world, or our physical conditions of life. The great Madhavendra Puri, he wrote one sloka where he was praying to Krishna that since I am trying to surrender to you, my Lord, everyone thinks I'm crazy. My relatives think I'm insane. What are you doing? You're crazy. And all my friends, they've completely want nothing to do with me anymore. And the people of society all around me, They've completely rejected me. They have nothing but scornful ridicule about me. He said, but I laugh, I don't care. Simply tasting the sweetness of your loving service, Krishna. That is my only meaning, my only pleasure in life. Let them talk, let them laugh, let them persecute, let them ridicule. And Srila Prabhupada, in one beautiful poem that he wrote while he was living in Vrindavan, while he was sitting in Radha Damodar, he wrote this poem. It was called Nirjana Bhajan. Do you know that poem? And he's describing how in his life he had family, he had children, he had so many responsibilities, and how illusory and painful all these conditions are to the soul. And he was describing how it is all just like the foaming bubbles on water, which are just about to burst in oblivion. That is the nature or the permanence of all the attachments we have in this world. And he's describing, here I am sitting in this temple in Vrindavan reflecting on what I have given up and what people are saying about me, and I simply laugh. Because he was finding the greatest pleasure in tasting the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Damodar in Brajadham. Therefore, although the circumstances in this world, one birth, you're in a condition, and that condition is very enjoyable, and then the next birth, that same condition is considered unthinkable to live in. So what really is good and bad? What is pleasure and pain in this world? It is all relative. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord, they rise above these temporary conditions of life. They seek their pleasure in the service of God. They avoid finding pleasure in the things of this world, knowing that that same pleasure to someone else is pain, and to me it will be the cause of pain today or tomorrow. Therefore, what is the value of wasting our precious energy simply trying to battle against the modes of material nature, which are undefeatable? Rather than trying to fight the current of material existence, which is constantly pushing us toward the ocean of death, a devotee simply surrenders to the Lord of material nature, Sri Krishna. And in that complete surrender, in any situation, so let us make our priority in life according to this great Avadhuta Brahman, the Srimad Bhagavatam. He is actually speaking on behalf of all of us. He's describing the travel of his soul through many species of life and the conclusion.